Our Lady, Mother of God, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today I could have also invoked Our Lady of Snows, for today is the feast day of that title of Our Lady that you may be familiar with if you get sometimes a mailing from Our Lady of Snows Shrine in Belleville, Illinois. It's because it is associated with this very feast day of St. Mary Majors, the dedication of this church, the oldest church dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary, or the major church and the oldest major church dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary under the title of her divine maternity as Mother of God. The church already has its origins back in the 300s with a patrician and a rather nobleman in Rome by the name of John, who Our Lady appeared to him, and at the same time she appeared to the Pope at the time, Pope Liberius, and both of them in a dream were told that they would find on a certain hillside in Rome a sign to show them where to build a basilica or a church in honor of Our Lady. And on that day, on August 5th, both the Pope and the nobleman John found this miraculous snowfall on this hillside in Rome. And of course, to find snow in Rome in August, you know, is like that proverbial saying, you have a snowball's chance in hell of finding snow on the Lateran on a Lateran hill in Rome. And so it was, the snow only fell in the place where the church was to be built. So the Pope took his staff and he marked out on the ground the boundaries of the snowfall so that when the snow melted, they would be able to have the size of the church which Our Lady asked to be built. And at first, this is in the 352, 356, somewhere in there, the church was construction, and it was in existence right at the, was being completed right around the time of the Council of Ephesus in 431 AD. And as you know, that's the council that defended Our Lady's divine maternity and proclaimed her to be Theotokos. And at that time, Pope Sixtus III was reigning as Pope, and he later on enlarged the church and then dedicated it, you might say, under the title of Our Lady's divine maternity as Mother of God. And the major, the nave of the church, the central part, has mosaics way up on the top of the church that date back to the 4th century. So it is an ancient church and has been dedicated to Our Lady's divine maternity. And it is where, appropriately, you will find underneath the papal altar there in the basilica the remaining relics of our Lord's crib. And it's there that you can pray before this wooden structure which housed our Lord's infancy, you might say, the place where he was laid to rest by Our Lady when she gave birth to him on that first Christmas night. And a priest one time said that the church is like the crib, that our, you know, just as the crib was on which our Lord was placed to display him to the whole world, the nations came to him, both Jews and then the Gentiles as the three kings, that the church is like the crib. It is this place where our Lord has been put on display for all to come and adore him. And it's fitting that there at the church dedicated to Our Lady's divine maternity, you'll find our Lord's crib still being preserved to remind us of the humble origins of which our Lord chose to enter into the world, being born in a stable and placed in a manger. And as we reflect on the importance of the divine maternity, as, of course, that was called into question by Nestorius, who would not refer to Our Lady. He was a bishop. He was the Patriarch of Constantinople. He would not refer to Our Lady as the Theotokos, the Mother of God. He only would refer to her as the Mother of Christ or the Mother of Jesus, because he thought that Jesus and the Eternal Word were two different persons. A divine person, the Eternal Word, and Jesus was like this human person that the divine person used as kind of like a puppet, you might say. There was some kind of union between the two, but they, you could not say that Jesus was God. If he were talking about the union that exists between the Holy Spirit and Our Lady, then Nestorius probably would have been correct. You know, there was a divine person and a created person operating in a very unique manner, acting as one through a special grace, but he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about Jesus, our Lord. And of course, the fathers came together at Ephesus and they corrected Nestorius and restated the ancient teaching of the church, the constant teaching of the church, which is already dated back to the first meeting of St. Elizabeth with Our Lady, when she said, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And of course, everybody knows that the Jews were not allowed to use the sacred name of God, Yahweh. They had to use some other substitute. And in this case, Adonai is what St. Elizabeth said to Our Lady, "Who am I that the mother of my Adonai should come to me?" But it was quite clear that she was proclaiming that she was in the presence of the Mother of God. And Our Lady will, and her divine maternity has been, you might say, etched into our sacred memory, because every time we pray the Hail Mary, the church reminds us that she is the Mother of God, because the first part of the Hail Mary was composed in sacred scripture by the angel Gabriel and Saint Elizabeth. But the second part, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death," was added by the Council of Ephesus to the Hail Mary to remind us of her divine maternity and that she is the Mother of God truly. Not just, you know, she didn't just have some kind of loose relationship, you might say, with Jesus. He treated her and truly believed, and she is his mother. And she gave birth to the person, not to a nature. She gave birth to the person who is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, nature answers what something is. When we say, "What is Jesus?" He's true God and true man. He has a human nature and a divine nature. But who is he? Who is the subject, the person acting? The person acting is the Son of God. And so we say, "Who is Jesus?" He is God. And so Our Lady is the Mother of God, and joyfully proclaimed by the Council of Ephesus since 431 AD in a solemn dogmatic way. And every time we pray the Hail Mary, we are reaffirming our belief in Our Lady's divine maternity and invoking her to come to our aid as our mother, to pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.